Welcome to Community Combos, a podcast and radio program from LCC Connect with conversations about what's happening in Lansing and around mid-Michigan. Hey, this is Dedalion back on the combo once again, and for over 50 years, Lansing has been home to one of the first hands-on science centers in the country. Now, if you're from the Lansing area, you are likely familiar with Impression 5 Science Center. And with me in the studio to talk about it today is Taylor Hodge. He is the communications manager at Impression 5, and Mikaela Balzer. She is the director of innovation and learning. And let's get started by, because not everybody knows the origin of Impression 5. And, you know, you go to the website, talks a little bit about it. Why don't you go ahead and tell listeners Impression 5? How did it start?
Yeah, so over 50 years, and you are absolutely right. There was our founder, Marilyn Eichinger, and her concept and idea of like putting hands-on science in kids' hands was kind of like the motivation of aspect. And so she started out by doing more of like a traveling moment. So they would pack up like these hands-on explorations, take them to schools, like set up in their gymnasiums and have kids come in, rotate, have a really an ability to connect to science and the science phenomena with these traveling exhibits. That idea became very popular and also just very attractive. It was just a very different way to engage children in exploring science. Because of that, there was the next step, which was to build a science center or a museum at the time. Instead of like packing them up in the back of a station wagon, they would have a location where then kids would come to. Okay. And so that was kind of like the birth of Impression 5.
Very cool. Of course, it is one of those things that as a kid, I remember going on field trips and having a great time there. So it's really just awesome to see kids and adults learning but having fun at the same time. Tell me a little bit about the mission and the vision of what Impression 5 is trying to do.
Sure. So our general mission is really to take science and science conversations and really take a nice approach for students to and families, not just students, so adults, children, all their families coming together to play and explore with science through two veins. One is our exhibits, and then the second is educational programs. So we want to entice families to have these positive relationships with science, to really start feeling like science is something that is attainable, something that is fun, mm-hmm. It's accessible,
right.
And that they have a really good time learning about.
Why exactly is it called Impression 5?
That's a great question. I think the idea of like having science be approachable from all your senses, so thinking about your five senses and how you take in information, both visual and hearing and touching. Tasting, of course, can be a little tricky in science, but definitely possible. And then, of course, you know, the auditory moment of listening and talking through science. So really taking that five senses approach is really what Impression 5 is about, really trying to promote you into an immersive learning environment where you're kind of taking on that relationship.
So making an impression on all five of those senses.
Absolutely.
Right? And, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, as times have changed, it seems like Impression 5 has changed as well. I noticed on the website sensory friendly hours now available, which obviously has not always been a thing.
Definitely lots of children that benefit from spaces that support those sensory learning environments. So Impression 5, just by its nature, tends to be loud. It's
yes.
active.
And that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, of course, we want everybody to enjoy this experience. We want everybody to come to the Science Center and really take on this moment. But sometimes that can be difficult. And there are children and families that they might have, you know, one learner or one child that might absolutely need a very different support system when they're coming to the Science Center. So we have a variety of different ways of making that possible. One is our sensory-friendly hours, which we limit the number of people in the building, which in itself already kind of like takes out a lot of the noise and takes out a lot of the just the general excitement sometimes and allows for visitors to kind of be able to take their own time and not be so loud and stimulated. The other second thing that we do in sensory friendly hours is we reduce some elements of our exhibits. So if, for example, in our water room, there's this wonderful activity in which the object of the activity is you make this bell ring.
Okay.
But if you can imagine you're walking into a space and this bell is just going ding, 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 ding. I mean, that's an overload right away for everybody. But if you imagine if you are already very sensitive to noise levels, that can be a really hard experience to walk into. So removing that bell from that moment. Bubbles are very exciting. We love bubbles at the
Science
Center.
Who doesn't love bubbles?
I know, right? But, you know, they definitely smell like soap. Touching them can also be a oversensory moment for some folks. And so being able to wash your hands after or use a cloth instead of a paper towel or a hand dryer that makes a lot of noise. So we just do a lot of modifications to assure that families are having a visit that allows and supports some of the sensory moments that their children might be experiencing.
Very cool. And it's great that you guys include that as a part of what you do now. Mikhail has hit on a lot of stuff here, Taylor, but I want you to explain to me, if somebody like had never walked into Impression 5, you met them outside of there, you explained to them that's where you work, what do you explain to them? How do you explain it, like what they could expect?
Yeah. You know, the first thing that I think people say almost every time I tell them I work there is like, oh man, that's so cool. Oh, I love that as a kid. Oh, it's so fun. You know, and a lot of people, when they don't know, it's just, I tell them it's kind of like Lansing Disneyland. It's like, you know, you come in and there's colors and sights and sounds, you know, kind of to what Mikhail was just saying. It's, you know, it can be very stimulating. There's a ton of stimulants going on all the time. So it's very exciting to walk into. Definitely prep for your day if you're going to come in for the first time. You know, you can spend hours, I would say, in there. You know, you can spend a half hour in each exhibit learning and exploring all these things that we have. But yeah, it's just an exciting place to be. It's a lot of fun. Kids, adults, like you said earlier, you know, love it.
Do you still get like adults that come in without the kids?
Yeah, we actually hosted an event last night for MSU SciFest. SciFest, they were there, and I saw a number of just adults, you know, couples coming in just to have a little date night for themselves. So,
all right, very cool. And what are the most popular exhibits these days?
Wow, what would you say is the most popular?
All of them. I don't know. My personal favorite is Flow. It's our water room.
Flow.
I love Flow. I think it's a lot of fun. It's interactive. I just like the fluid dynamics of water and, you know, just the things that you can mess around with. But I definitely think Pop has been around a long time. I think Pop is probably one of the more universally loved exhibits, I would
say. What exactly is Pop?
Pop is our bubble room.
Oh, it is the bubble room.
Yeah, that's the bubble room. Yep. So that's the one, you know, it's, you can come in, you can, you know, we have tons of like bubble making opportunities. You can like put, you know, metal like shapes into bubbles, and it creates these really cool like dynamic visuals of bubbles that you wouldn't be able to see normally. I think the most popular thing is probably our body bubble.
Okay.
A lot of people are familiar with the body bubbles. So it's, you know, this ring you stand in, you pull it up over your head, and you know, on a good tug, you can get this body bubble 6 feet, 7 feet in the air.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. Like, I can get it over my head, you know, sometimes. So it's pretty surreal to be surrounded, encapsulated in bubbles, something you wouldn't think you could normally do.
One of the things that I can remember doing on the field trip was the big mouth.
Oh, the big mouth.
And that's still changed there recently, hasn't it?
Yes, it really has. I'm glad that you brought that up. So I would say in the last 2 years, we have a group of young people that kind of volunteer work are part of the Science Center and its decision-making moment. It's called the Youth Action Council.
Okay.
It is comprised of anywhere between 12 to 20 teen influencers from our area. And they come together and kind of determine who and what type of science is being done at the Science Center, and who is accessible, who science is talking to, how is science celebrated and committed to. So one of the approaches is that we really needed to revamp the Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every year, people love it so much, and every year we have to like evaluate it, take a look at it, see if we need to be repainted, refurbished in some way. Well, it happened to be that we absolutely did, but since I could possibly remember, probably the last 40 years, the Big Mouth, every time it has that assessment, gets painted as a white person.
Right.
With blue eyes. And so this time the youth were, you know, brought up this moment. They said, we have to refurbish it. Is there any new approaches that we can take? And they were so excited to take on this project, because one of the things that's really important is who this community reflects and who we represent and who has access to science and who is celebrated in science is such an important conversation, especially for the teens. And so part of their work was to diversify the approach of what the mouth represented.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took these 3D printed mounts and did some prototyping. And so some of the ideas of what diversity could look like in the mouth, and they took that approach. They set up a meeting. They all like represented their mouths. They voted. And the voting one is the one currently that you'll see. It's a pixelated colored mouth with 26 different skin tones. And so that would allow lots of people to see themselves reflected back in who is able and should be in science.
Yes. And to your point, I mean, Lansing is a very diverse community. So it was one of those things when I saw that, I was like, that's awesome. And that was a great approach. That was a great approach to represent so many different ethnicities and a community that truly is diverse. Let me ask you, Taylor, your personal experience. Can you give me something that happened to you the very first time you went there, not as an employee, but very first experience that you had there at Impression 5?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not originally from the Lansing area.
Okay.
My first visit to Impression 5, I was 20-something. You know, as you would say, some people would be like, oh, way too old. Well, I work there now, so you know, I came
not
back.
Too old.
And Eric Larson, the director, executive director of the Science Center, actually came to do a presentation in one of the classes. It was my significant other at the time, and she had come back and said, "Hey, I've got a surprise for us this weekend. We need to go do this thing." And I'm like, "All right, cool, whatever." So we go do this thing. We drive up to Impression 5. I have no idea what I'm walking into, and they had a Hot Wheels exhibit. And growing up as a kid, I was all about Hot Wheels. I still have, you know, hundreds and thousands of them around.
Still got a few.
Dude, I love them. The best. You know, I was a Hot Wheels kid for sure. And I went to play with this Hot Wheels exhibit. And I was around all these other kids, you know, and I'm just like, wow, I feel like a big kid. And this is so much fun. And we ended up walking up. Another vivid memory I have of that moment is going up to throwing things, which is our like momentum. You can, it's like a momentum exhibit. You can do trebuchets and catapults and tennis ball launchers. And I remember specifically shooting the tennis ball launcher that same trip. And little did I know, you know, 8 years later, I'm going to be working there.
Yeah.
So my first experience was as a 20 something year old.
Being a big kid.
I felt like a kid, you know, yeah. And it was amazing.
Well, that's what I love about going there, too, is you do all of a sudden get into that kid mode again, even as an adult. Pretty much it is a play place for a kid of any age.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It really is.
Mikaela, what was your first experience like that you can remember?
That I can remember? So it wasn't actually a paid position. I was a volunteer is the first time I remember. So I immigrated from South America, Bolivia, when I was in third grade. I didn't actually visit Impression 5 as a child. But when I was in my precarious teenage, my mother thought I had plenty of time on my hands and wanted to make sure that I was like volunteering or doing something in the community. And so I had the opportunity to volunteer on Impression 5. So I remember the first time I walked in, I just felt like it was familiar in a way, right? Like it just felt welcoming, even though, you know, the building looks completely different today than it did back when I was that age. But I remember walking in and thinking, I've never been to a place like this. But yet immediately I felt welcomed. So as I was kind of like exploring, you know, you're a teen, you still are able to play and you are still ready to like touch and explore. And even, you know, you're just excited. But I was like, I can't explain it to you in any other way. I felt very comfortable by being there. But I was surprised. I mean, there were a lot of things that I just did not expect. So at the time, there was this like NASA suit that you could go inside and manipulate and by being inside. And I remember thinking like, wow, that's such a like unique experience. Let me try it, you know. So I think I was playing more than I was actually doing and like moving that work forward. I'm sure I was supposed to be on some task, but how can you when
I know there's so many fun things around.
Exactly. So I think that was my first impression for sure of just the Science Center as a whole.
I think that's awesome that both of you kind of experienced it as what you would call a little bit older, than a typical person. Mine, of course, was being as a kid, and it was just awesome to do, and I loved doing it. So you're a nonprofit. How exactly do you get your funding these days? Because you've got to always create revenue, even as a nonprofit.
Absolutely. And those are the challenges of a nonprofit, right? It's how to be sustainable for the long term. So Impression 5, of course, we do have fees for visiting the Science Center. Admissions definitely are part of the, you know, economics of the Science Center, as well as our membership program. We also provide a lot of robust programming, whether it's like science camps. So when children are not in school, they can come to camps here at the Science Center. So those are also part of our, you know, programming that we offer to the Science Center, to the community, I'm sorry. But also, you know, so we have earned revenue is what we call. So memberships, programs, admissions. And we have this amazing Impression 5 to go store that sells a lot of great science STEM kits, a lot of like STEM toys. And it really is a treasure in our community. And so all those are what we consider our earned revenue. Mm-hmm. But that is not everything that Impression 5 would need to support itself. We definitely every year require donations from the community, whether mm-hmm. they're individuals or from companies that are sponsoring, whether it's traveling exhibits or programs at the Science Center. And then, of course, you know, we have grants, you know, so Impression 5 writes annual grants every year to different organizations to support our mission moving forward. So right now, our goal is to be more like 80% earned revenue and 20% contributed.
Yeah.
And, you know, prior to the pandemic, we were very, very close to that. In fact, probably really kind of making that goal happen. When the pandemic happened, things just kind of flipped upside down. You know, it's hard to, you know, have any revenue when you can't be open for business. So we have, you know, are making our way back towards that goal. I think this year we're closer to it than we have been in the last year. So we're like 75-25. But our, you know, the whole idea of the organization as a nonprofit is we want to be able to still, you know, receive donations and write grants and things like that, because it allows us to dream big for the future.
Sure.
And not just, you know, sustain us. And so those are, you know, the goals for the Science Center for sure.
Well, for a place that's completely revolving around the sensory, you know, the five senses, was it a difficult transition coming back from the pandemic?
You know, the minute the pandemic hit, obviously, you know, everybody's world changed.
Sure.
Everybody had to like rethink of how they were going to do things. But one of the things that we were very committed in that moment was to still be part of the community solution. Like, what can we do in this moment? How can Impression 5 still support families, teachers, you know? So we started innovating very different ways that we had not before. So, for example, we started doing a virtual program for teachers, since, you know, we were able to then be able to access children at their homes. Now this is their new classroom, right? And so being able to do that really allowed us to change what we were doing, but still fulfill our mission.
Mm-hmm.
There were lots of awesome ways that staff members leaned in. So if, you know, the Science Center, we were no longer operating, but we definitely were committed to keeping staff employed and staff connected to the Science Center. There are so many great people at the Science Center that work tirelessly to support the mission. And that kind of talent, you can't just let go. Mm-hmm. And so we were very much committed into keeping staff connected to the Science Center. But this moment allowed for them to do something very differently. So someone that, you know, traditionally built exhibits for the Science Center during this pandemic moment was doing like walks and talks out in the park with, you know, so they were doing outdoor education of things that they were already very passionate about. And so we were able to do virtual programming with that moment, whether it was Instagram stories or reels. And so it really allowed us to be very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we weren't able to necessarily operate and have a Science Center, we reopened in September, and obviously wildly different, right? Our operations completely changed the way the number of people that could be in the building, along with like our procedures for cleaning. The Science Center has always had a robust cleaning moment, but because of the pandemic, it just augmented what that experience was like. So it just, we just changed, but it really allowed us to innovate.
And as you said, it affected everybody, but yeah. It's awesome that you were able to adjust and make it happen. I am kind of curious to know, you know, if somebody didn't have a monetary way to support what you do, do you work with volunteers at all?
We definitely do. We have a robust volunteer program through two ways, right? So one is a regular volunteer that wants to come in and volunteer at the Science Center on a regular basis. So we have this gentleman that comes in, and he's kind of like our bubble person. Every Tuesday, they show up to the Science Center, and for all the groups that are there, all the kids that are there, he puts them in the body bubble and, like, you know, stands there for 3 to 4 hours at a time. And it's just like he's got this giant smile on his face. It's so warming to see, and he's just such a joy. And he's been part of the Science Center for over 10 years, right?
Awesome.
So it's really great to see someone that's connected and has a routine. But we also have one-off volunteers, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have volunteers, whether it's community-based, like So, for example, an organization like Delta Dental will come into the Science Center and help us pack STEM kits for our Head Start families. Okay. So we'll have those volunteer opportunities. We definitely have like big events. So when we do like Legopalooza or we have a traveling exhibit coming in, we might have just a fixed moment where we have volunteers come in. So yeah, the volunteer program is very strong at the Science Center. In the summer, it becomes very much a magnet for teens, kind of how I started.
Right.
Teens tend to have a lot of time in the summer, and so they're able to come and on a more routine basis support their Science Center.
Very cool. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, field trips was the way that I got to know Impression 5 as a youngster. What are you guys doing with schools these days?
Great question. So there's a different approach that we take with schools. We definitely still do the field trip. You know, where you're coming down to Lansing or you're a school from Lansing, you might come to the Science Center for 2 to 3 hours. And it's just a joyful experience to have a hands-on approach with exhibits. But we also have programming for schools. So we have both outreach. So we'll go out to different classrooms and provide a science experience. We have something called a big science lesson, which is a school coming to the Science Center for 4 days in a row, and they're exploring science as part of their main curriculum for the week. And that it requires a real big connection with their educators, their teachers. It's a co-built curriculum that is built between Impression 5 staff and the teachers from that school district. Then their students come in. It's immersive in the sense that the whole day they're focusing on science, whether it's investigations, workshops, lessons. It is taught by Impression 5 as well as the teachers. And so it's a very immersive programming that we're doing with schools. We'll have other programming that will require like 2 outreaches to a school and then they come for a big field trip. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest things for us is really continuing that relationship with a school, with a student. We want, you know, definitely a field trip is great and it's super beneficial, but the longer that you can have these experiences together, the richer those conversations become. Certainly. The more trust that happens. Learning really requires a big level of trust. There's a lot of risks associated in learning. And so if we can create an environment where we are trusted, where that relationship can grow, the more successful we can be in these big ideas around science and the more, you know, students are willing to like lean into those risks.
I love that you mentioned that. And I love that you've got like multiple ways that schools can kind of be involved with what you do there. We talk quite a bit about all the different aspects, but we still haven't mentioned where exactly is it located?
Impression 5, it's right downtown Lansing, yep. In the museum district there. It's 200 Museum Drive. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with Lansing area, there's a giant head sculpture with the gears coming out of the front.
Okay.
And follow the hill straight down, and we're right there on the right, right by the R.E. Olds Museum.
Very cool. And hours of operation, are you generally open 7 days a week or not?
We are open 6 days a week. So okay. We are closed Monday. It's usually kind of like a internal admin day and kind of getting everything cleaned up for the week.
Makes sense.
So our day kind of starts really, our week really kind of starts on Tuesday. And Tuesday through Friday, we're open 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then Saturday, we're open 9:30 to 5. Mm-hmm. And Sunday, we're open 11:30 to 5.
Okay. And are your weekends usually the busiest time?
It depends. Yeah. So families, for sure, right? We definitely tend to see a lot of families, a lot of birthday parties, lots of excitement around that. During the weekdays, you know, they're busy with school field trips. So mm-hmm. It just, especially in the spring when, you know, the weather's great, traveling on a bus seems to be the way to be able to make it. You know, we understand Michigan, there's a lot of snow. We understand that could be risky other times of the year. So we tend to be really busy throughout the week and also the weekends. But when the weather's really nice outside on a summer day, the Science Center on the weekend can be very enjoyable for sure. Probably about 700, 800 people in the building, not like your typical Saturday or Sunday, which would have a lot more in the winter for sure.
Very good. We talked a little bit about traveling exhibits, or at least you mentioned the idea. What exactly is a traveling exhibit, and what do you guys got coming up?
So the traveling exhibit is an amazing way to supplement our exhibitory, what we offer. So Impression 5 Science Center builds and creates their own exhibits, which is super amazing and super great. It allows us to really connect to learners in a very different way. It allows us to prototype, really allows us to like also pick a theme. But it takes us 2 to 3 years to build exhibits here at the Science Center. And between that time, people want to see new things. Mm-hmm. They want to enjoy new experiences. And of course, a traveling exhibit like allows and supplements that moment. So we're able to bring in these attractions to the Science Center that you might be able to see in Chicago or you might be able to see in Indianapolis. But here it is in your Lansing community. So currently right now we have Scooby-Doo Mansion Mayhem.
Ooh.
I know. If you're a fan of Scooby-Doo, you have to come see it. It leaves on May 12th, so you have plenty of time, but definitely make it before then. But so Impression 5 basically brings these giant traveling exhibits to the Science Center for a fixed time. Usually it's about 3 months, but sometimes, you know, we can have extended venues or sometimes it's even shorter than that. But we really try to bring 2 or 3 traveling exhibits every year, you know, and we're actively looking for the next big attraction to bring to Lansing.
I feel like I missed an opportunity and Zoinks should have been my reaction.
Yeah.
Mikaela Balzer and Taylor Hodge. Mikaela, of course, the Director of Innovation and Learning, and Taylor, the Communications Manager for the Impression 5. Anything else to mention before we go?
I mean, if you've been to Impression 5 before, definitely come again. That Science Center just keeps changing. And so you'll have new experiences every time you go. If you've been lately, thank you for coming. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks.
You've been listening to Community Combos, a program from LCC Connect with conversations about what's happening in our community. To listen to this episode on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org. or find us on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on Community Combos, email us lcc-connect@lcc.edu. And thanks for joining the Combo.